Welcome to our playground.
Recess, the podcast, is an eclectic show of organic discussion, imagination, deep conversations, interviews, creativity, intuition, high vibrations, and fun.
Be informed, energized, inspired, and entertained with me, Jamie.
And me, Brian. Ready or not, here we come.
Because we all need to take a break.
Hey, Brian, how are you today?
I'm great, Jamie. How are you?
Fabulous. And we have a guest today. You want to introduce him to us?
Absolutely. This is a friend of mine, Matthew Turner, who lives over on the other side of the pond. And we connected, I don't know, it's probably been 6, 8, 10 months ago. And he found me. I'm not sure how he found me, but we've had some really nice chats. And I thought he'd be great to come on here today. And he's a really interesting guy. He's written a book, and he's kind of got a program going. Well, he's got a program going called No Hustle now, which is very interesting. And we'll talk about it in a second. But he wrote a book that I read, which I love, called Beyond the Pale. And he did a lot of research interviewing thought leaders and entrepreneurs and successful folks, and just picked their brains. And he kind of utilized some of those people and made them into characters in his book as he is on his journey of self-awareness and maybe letting go of the push, so to speak. But I digress. Matthew, how are you today?
I am good, thank you. First of all, thank you both for having me. And yeah, lovely intro, man. It's hard to think, but it's probably been pushing on a year since we first connected.
Oh my gosh.
The last year has flown by.
I agree. What, obviously you had been maybe kind of struggling with some of the things that your character does in the book that you wrote. What prompted you, however many years ago, 2, 3 years ago, to start interviewing all these people, you know, and to put the book together and then ultimately create your No Hustle brand?
So yeah, there's a few pieces there. First of all, Ferdinand is the main character you speak of.
Yep.
And he is a fictional character who is extremely successful, like the poster child of young, up and coming, seemingly overnight success. Like, there's no such thing as overnight success, but he's as close to it as you can probably get, because he went from being college smart kid, having an idea, it just taken off, and yeah, Silicon Valley startup type, boom, up and to the right sort of success. So he's just known an extremely fast-paced, successful period where everyone wants to be on his radar. Everyone wants a piece of him. Everyone's got advice for him. And he feels like he has a great deal to prove. So Ferdinand and me, we certainly don't share similarities in terms of our bank accounts. I mean, that would be nice. But in terms of the existential thoughts that he has, the struggles, the proving of oneself, the grinding of said gears, we shared a lot of those. And my journey began, we're going back 10 years, over 10 years now, when I first left my job to start working for myself. And I started research for a book that I would eventually write called The Success Mistake. And for The Success Mistake, I interviewed 163 people, I think, in total. It was over a 3 or 4 year period. And I was basically just asking people about their failures, their mistakes, and how they managed to transform them into success. So how they managed to turn a bad time into a catalyst of a good time. And as you can imagine, I learned a lot in that period, covering many different topics. But one of the things which really stood out for me was this commonality of success. Not the so-called success, the generic success, what society gives you version of success, but the people I was speaking to were like far down the road who I aspired to be like. They would tell me things like, I started to understand what success meant to me. I started to piece that together. I started to explore what it is that I wanted. And it was during this period that I realized, like most, I was pursuing a version of success that had absolutely no merit of mine. I'd never even thought of it. I'd just been passed on to me through school, parents, siblings, media, society at large. So that's when I started going a bit deeper, going deeper down the personal development rabbit hole, self-improvement, health, mind, body, spirit, all of it really. And that's kind of what I've been doing for the past, it's probably been about 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when I was doing this when the idea of Ferdinand and then the book Beyond the Pale was incepted. I liked the idea of writing a novel that would be very much for entrepreneurs or, you know, busy people who are too busy to read novels. I think novels are an amazing thing and fiction is incredible and we should all give ourselves that gift. But it's difficult to give yourself that gift when we're so busy and we feel like we have to take value, tangible value from every single thing that we do, video we watch, book we read, article we read, all that sort of stuff. So I wanted to create a novel that would be worth their time. And that's when I started to just pull the thread and Ferdinand's journey. And I wanted to revisit some of the interviews I did for The Success Mistake. There was other people that I'd met in the in-between space, which I really wanted to interview and dive deeper into. And yeah, I just explored all of that. And it led me to write Beyond the Pale, which is Ferdinand's awakening. He's like, okay, yeah, I'm successful. I've got money in the bank, but what is it that I actually want? What is it that I'm pursuing? Why am I pursuing it? And that is when the common ground between me and Ferdinand really shines bright. And I think it's where the common ground of most people shines bright. Whenever I speak to people out beyond the pale, they quickly kind of get it. They're like, ah, yeah, I can't necessarily relate to Ferdinand and his situation, but I can relate to Ferdinand the person because he's got the same thoughts, worries, demons that I do.
You know what I love about this, Matthew, is that having the novel allows me to connect to the character. It's not just a self-help, heady kind of everyday CEO book. It's one that you can actually see yourself like you're describing. Everybody has a different term for success. What does success mean? You know, just like we have a different
idea.
What is wealthy? You know, you can be wealthy in your kids or your life or whatever, you know, so I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's what separates good fiction apart. Like there's obviously totally different realms of fiction, the different genres and everything. And a lot of fiction is out there purely to help you escape. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all need that, just like we need that easy movie where I just want to unthink tonight. I just want to flop in bed and I'm going to watch a movie that has The Rock in it because I just don't want to think. I just don't action. I just want to
turn my brain on.
I just want to be easygoing. And there's plenty of books like that. But the really good books, like The Good Music, like The Good Movies, they teach you in a roundabout way. And they teach you not by saying, here's these seven steps. They teach you through story. They teach you through relatable experiences. And some of the biggest lessons that I've learned, and this is another thing which I learned from the people who I interviewed for The Success Mistake, when I asked them about books, being a writer, I was interested in like what books they like. And the ones who were like far ahead down the road, like those who I genuinely aspire to be like, they didn't read the typical how-to books. They read history, philosophy, psychology, novels, the classics, because it's these books which teach us in that really informal manner where we're being taught through inspiration rather than education. And I think most of us get to a certain age and there's nothing wrong with education. We all need to be educated. And there are times when we need to take a course and watch a video series and stuff, but we're all a bit tired of just being taught. Inspired, I don't think you ever get tired of that.
Agreed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you described your work perfect. Obviously, you wrote it. But I mean, what I love about it, it's like his hero's journey. And it's just, you just meet all these interesting characters and you're gleaning information and some helpful stuff here and there. And I can't remember how many times I would bend the page a little bit, just like to go back and get those two or three sentences that I really like with the one, you know, a person he was interacting with said.
Yeah.
And so it's perfect. You're right. It takes you on a journey. You can kind of turn your brain off, yet you're also digesting some potentially helpful and life-changing information.
That's it. And the one thing which I was really adamant when I went into it, and I've become more and more adamant since with like No Hustle, is we get so focused on answers. And I didn't want Beyond the Pale to be a book that gave answers, which again, I think is a common thing with a lot of how-to nonfiction books. You read them with the promise of being given the solution, the answer. Good fiction, good stories, they don't tend to give you answers. They help you start asking the right questions, the questions you personally need to ask. And I don't think that needs to stop in the world of fiction. I think that can very much happen in the world of nonfiction. It's when I write articles now, when I'm doing videos, I try to get not too caught up in the answer, because I don't think I'm at any point to give answers. I can give guidance in certain areas where I have an opinion, and some of my opinions are more educated and weighted than others. But too often we're just searching for answers. And this was what Ferdinand was doing when he was having these interactions. He was hoping someone would give him the answer, but he wasn't asking the right question. He was just throwing lots out there, hoping the all-encompassing answer would find him. And I do that. And I think all of us do it to some degree. We're just tired and overwhelmed. So we just throw out questions into the universe, hoping that the answer will find us, that will make us feel whole, at peace, content. And it just does not work like that. Whereas if you take the time to start searching for the question you need to ask right now, oftentimes you'll find the answer is already inside you or around you, or you already have access to it, but you just didn't see it, couldn't quite fathom it right now because you weren't asking the right question. So questions are the important thing. And when I'm writing now, whether it's an article, a book, social media posts, when I'm doing videos, whether it's for something to do with Beyond the Pale or No Hustle, I'm just always focused on, don't get caught up in giving any answers. You ain't got any to give. Help the other person, first of all, be inspired to ask, or to go, shall I say, inspired to go in search of the question, and give them some kind of guidance to just take those first steps. It's up to them.
You know what you're pointing to, which I love too, and that's part of what this podcast is all about, is, you know, we call it recess because it's playful, but you think about kids, they're so curious, and we've lost that as adults. And what you're pointing to also, I love, I have a philosophy that we all have the answers inside of us, and the greatest teacher lives inside of us. So how do we get that teacher to come out is by asking those questions and to stay curious.
Yeah. Curiosity. I mean, they say it kills a cat, but certainly don't kill us humans. I mean, it gets us in trouble sometimes, but we wouldn't be human. It's one of those big things that makes humans human. We're curious. We desire to understand and to know more and to give our life purpose. But again, then we get lost in it all. Like, oh, what's my purpose? What's the meaning of it all? So we just throw out questions. And I think this is when people get lost down self-improvement and personal development rabbit holes. And they just go from one self-help book to the next, one trend, one diet, one quick rich scheme after another, because they're just searching for the thing that is going to help them. But at no point are they asking the question that they need to be asking. And that's the root cause problem right there.
Well, I mean, isn't the root cause for most everybody just that inner validation?
Yeah. Absolutely. We are wanting to feel worth. We want to feel like we are worth something. And this is what I always come back to. And I know I struggle to this, and I don't know whether it's an everyone problem. I sense it is to an extent, but maybe you too can relate. I know some people on a deep level. I know my partner Vanessa on a deep level. I know my kids. I've got some friends and I know them. But I don't really. The only person I ever get to truly know is me. I'm in my head 24/7 for the last 39 years. It's constant. There's no break. But I've got an inquisitive mind. I've got a mind that worries and spirals and, you know, gets anxious and all these things. And some people are more prone to wandering thoughts than others. But to an extent, we all share this common thing where the only person we ever get to truly know is us. And we know, are keenly aware of our insecurities, our flaws, our imperfections, both internal chatter, you know, we're our biggest critic, we self-doubt, all of these things. We have great aspects about going on in our heads too, but it's always there just eating away at us. We are aware of that. We are not aware of that in others. We assume they have it, and we know when they're feeling weak, when they tell us. But right now we're having a conversation, and there are probably things in both of your minds in the back where you can be smiling and talking and happy, but there's something that you're worried about, something that is causing you pain. It might have been there for weeks, months, years, decades. The only time we get to experience that is when it's with us. So that idea of validation, we're trying to validate because we feel imperfect, we feel weak, we feel fragile because we are. And we see all these other people who just seem stronger than us, seem more successful, happier. So then we're like, what have they got that I haven't? What do I need to do? So I'm going to distract myself by, you know, getting busy with its work or some kind of addictive substance, whether it's binging TV or whatever it is.
Something to numb us. Numb those thoughts.
Exactly.
Because you know what, as human beings, and I find this very common in the Western culture, we run from discomfort. We are always seeking for ways to be more comfortable. Oh, I don't want to have that conversation because I'm uncomfortable with it. Or I don't want to actually go and put the effort into something because it could be painful. And really what we're lacking is tools. We're not I mean, pain is part of life.
Yeah.
So if we had the tools with it. And you know, the other thing about the curiosity and the asking the questions and all that, and finding that contentment inside of ourselves. If we approached each other with that radical curiosity, do you know how much peace in the world we might have? Because then we'll actually start to understand each other. Because like you're pointing to, the person we know best is ourselves. But how do you get to know somebody else? Ask questions.
But it's a great point you bring, that we need the right tools. And most of us are not given those tools because we aren't given those kind of tools through school. We're taught to study hard. One of the big things which led me to what was beyond the pale and then bring it to a grander movement in No Hustle, which is something which I feel has grander application over the coming years. Because a book is a book, and I wanted to do something which could expand beyond that and reach more people. Was this idea of hustle culture has taken on like a huge realm these days. And part of it is because of just the fast paced nature of the world with the online, we're so connected to everything. But we're kind of taught to pursue and find a degree of comfort in, you know, the hustle. And when I talk about the hustle there, I just mean this idea of working harder, working longer. Just if in doubt, work harder. That's kind of what we ultimately get taught at school. If you want to get good grades, study hard. And if the grades aren't good enough, study harder. Get a tutor, put in more time, read more books, spend more time listening, focusing. We're just taught to work harder. And when the education system was incepted, that made a lot of sense because it was built by people who had factories and they just wanted workers who would work hard. It doesn't really apply in modern society, not in the same way. So we are built, we are brought up to just work harder. So then when we get uncomfortable, well, we numb ourselves by being busy, by starting a side hustle, by getting a new job, by working harder, by just doing all these things. So we just do more. And the more we do, the less we can do. We can't do any deep thinking. One, because we weren't given the tools growing up, but two, we don't have the time to do it or the energy. So we're so burnt out from doing all these things because that's what we've been taught to do. If we actually gave...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's almost like we're fooling ourselves that we're being productive.
Yeah, it's busyness, isn't it? You know, it's busy work. I think we're all prone to that. I know I am. You know, rather than doing the things that we should be doing, we do things that keep us busy. So we feel like, oh, at least I've had a busy day. I've done something.
I'm enough.
It's like, but did you do what you needed to do? And I think for most people, most days, the honest answer is often no. And the people who can have the honest answer and going, yes, are those who have done the work to escape the hustle. Mm. They've done the work to search for and then ask the right questions, which begins to give them the right tools, which then begins to allow them to live that more freeing, peaceful life. But if you don't ask the right questions, you ain't going to get the right answers, which aren't going to give you the right tools. Mm. And we're not given those tools growing up. Not most of us. You know, we can try to an extent, but society at large is more focused on working hard rather than teaching us to be curious about our mind, how our mind works, why our mind works that way. You know, we're not really given any of these tools. I didn't learn about mindset. I had to figure that out on my own, but I didn't come across it until I was about 30. But something as simple and fundamental as mindset and, you know, our feelings and the inception of thoughts and how different people learn in different ways, these should be the bedrock of our education system. But I talk to people as soon as they enter education at the ages of 4 or 5, but it's not. So we reach an age where we've built all these beliefs and habits and defense mechanisms. So if we get to a point where we start asking the right questions, which lead us to the right answers, which lead us to the right tools, we still then have huge obstacles and hurdles to overcome because we only know what we know. And it's been deep rooted in us. So it's a tricky old situation that we're in. And it's no surprise really that we numb ourselves with movies from The Rock. It's easy. It's safe.
Absolutely. Again, it goes back to we don't want to be uncomfortable. And
we weren't taught to be uncomfortable.
Right.
Really.
Be bored. Do you know how many kids weren't taught that boredom is actually fertile ground for creativity?
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I know Jamie would appreciate this because she works with intuition and is very intuitive and such. I mean, we haven't even touched on that aspect of maybe learning and being exposed to the power of our intuition either.
Yeah, that's very true. I can tell you that both of my children who are adults now, they will call me and tell me multiple situations where their intuition, they trusted it and followed it because that was something I taught them from the very early ages. And it also kept them out of some trouble in school growing up because yeah. Friend would try and peer pressure them into doing something and they would say it didn't feel right. You're right, then good, don't do it, you know. So
and that's great, you know, and it's amazing what happens when you give people the right tools. You know, it leads them to not making perfect answers or hell, we're still going to make mistakes, we're still going to wander off course. But if you're setting someone up for success, you're going to get success. What that success looks like is the point of all this, right? It's defined for the individual. But yeah, we don't really set people up for that in this world, not in most cases. We kind of set them up to pursue a very defined version of success. And it's to have a particular kind of job so you can wear a particular kind of watch and clothes and own a car and have a house and all these things. Because that makes sense to the people at the very top, you know? They want you to spend their money. They want you to keep yourself busy and happy so that you go to work and make them even more money. It makes sense to set people up to work hard and to be obsessed about working hard. But I think that is ultimately what we kind of term that midlife crisis. We so often reach a point where we're like, why am I working so hard? Why am I so obsessed about working so hard? Why am I always worrying about whether I am working hard enough, whether I am good enough, worthy enough? So, but that in itself brings forward all these existential questions, discomfort. So, you know, you do the stereotypical thing like, why a Porsche, right? Or something like that, which makes you feel like, yeah, I'm happy now. I'm doing something different.
Well, you know,
it's tricky.
There's a Taoist saying that is, the more you own, the more that owns you.
Mm-hmm.
Includes where we clutter our time. We clutter our lives with things and people and experiences and all these things, and it owns us. So we're in the hustle and we're so busy, and that busyness owns us. Instead, one of the most liberating things I did was when I moved across country, I took nothing with me but my clothes. Fabulous. And I rebuilt my on a very minimalist concept, and I've tried to keep it that way for the last 4 years. And it's been so wonderful because I walk in my space and I'm like, I can breathe. I don't have to tend to all this stuff, you know?
Exactly. I've just been doing a video, a couple of videos on this idea of the joy in simplicity. And minimalism is one of these sort of main topics which I discussed. But so often we think of minimalism, well, the simple life. We think about that minimalistic home or doing meditative practices or, you know, living off the land. But it kind of goes a lot deeper than that. It really just becomes about you letting go of thought. It's not just about physical minimalism. It's about emotional minimalism. It's about mental minimalism. These days also about digital minimalism. Because like you say, the more things you own, the more things you commit to, the more things you try to do, they own you. Those things, those commitments, those responsibilities, they own you, your time, your energy, your precious seconds, every single time, every one of them. So letting go of that, not just letting go in a literal sense, but in a more existential sense, letting go in a more emotional sense, it frees you, literally. Like, it frees you to just do that deep work. It frees you to do the work you need to do to ask the right questions. But again, we're not taught, we're not given those tools. So it's a vicious cycle. We reach a point where we are not happy and we start questioning it. But Ben, it's uncomfortable. I don't like that. I wasn't taught how to be uncomfortable. I wasn't given the tools to overcome this. So I'm going to throw out a bunch of broad questions and then hope the answer finds me. But, well, that answer will do. So I'll try that diet. I'll try that trend. I'll try that self-help book. I'll throw myself into this type of philosophy, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. And we just go through these cycles for years, lifetime, where we feel like we're productive. And in actual fact, we're just going round and round and round.
Well, it's funny too, because a lot of people that I work with, one of those existential crisis questions is, what's the purpose? What's my meaning? I wanted to do more. I want to have more impact, if you will. And my answer after exploring that with them a little bit is, why can't one person or one thing a day be enough? Why do we feel like we have to change the entire world at one time versus making a positive impact right where I'm at?
That's it. But again, we weren't taught that, because at school you were shepherded from one class to the next. We weren't given the value of doing less. We were surrounded by this existence of more. You had to do more, work more, try more. It was all about, and especially, it's not as big over here, but I believe it's quite a big thing across the pond in America, you know, extracurricular activities. You do that, that's going to set you up for later in life. You know, if you don't do that, it shows the world you're lazy, you don't have ambition, therefore you're not worthy enough to get that job or that application or that apprenticeship or whatever else. We're not taught to value less. to take our time. From a young age, we are taught to rush around, do lots and lots of things. And that's all we are now. We're just a bunch of adults busying, being around, trying to be productive, trying to be worthwhile. Yeah, it's a very busy and heavy place, and it only gets busier and faster and heavier.
So we're already almost out of time, but I want to ask you before we wrap it up, you know, and Jamie and I have talked about this a little bit, you know, in some of our other discussions, you know, is this pushing, and sometimes you just need to like just take a break and let things catch up, blah, blah, blah. But what's some advice you would give to people that are kind of trying to work smarter and, you know, encompass some of the no hustle ideas to maybe make that transition?
So the thing which I think is a really big keystone, like anchor point for people, is this very simple question: what does success mean to you? It's like an onion. Everyone kind of has an answer, but it's one of those answers where the other person on the other end, you know, so me in this case, would be like, but why is that? But why is that? So in the book, in Beyond the Pale, the person who was that why that to Ferdinand was Jordan Harbinger when he went on his podcast. And after a couple of them, you'll likely get stumped and go, I don't know why. I don't know why. So you might say your answer was, I want to have a 7-figure business. But why? Because then I will be financially free. But why is that important? Because then I won't have to worry about paying the bills. Because then, I don't know. And the person, you'll find yourself getting frustrated and defensive, because you'll reach a point where you're just like, I don't know. I just do. And that right there, use that frustration, that defensiveness as a doorway for you. Search, like, spend some time. You don't need to come up with any answers now, because there ain't no answers that you're going to come up with. You just have to spend a little bit of time, whether it's days or weeks or months, exploring that question, trying to just hone in on what your version of success looks like. And if you don't like the word success, replace it with meaning or purpose or freedom or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a word. The point is, you have one life, and one day you will die. So the time between now and then, it's up to you to do something with it. And there's a very, very good chance right now you are pursuing a destination that, one, you don't even understand, and two, if you do, it's likely wasn't given. It was likely given to you, passed down to you from someone else. And that makes the whole point of living just a little bit yucky. Like, I'm going to spend all this time working, going through all these extent. I have to put up with this inner voice for 50, 60, 70, 80 years to get to the end where I'm just going to go back and go, what the hell have I done? That terrifies me. And it should terrify you. Should terrify all of us, because life can trickle by, but at the same time really go fast. And we all share that in common. We have a life, one day we die. And we should just want to reach the end of it feeling like we've made sense of it, like we've done something worthwhile. So use today. Ideally, you would have done it 20 years ago, but the next best time is now to be like, what am I going to do to make my life worthwhile? Like, what is my definition of success, freedom, purpose, whatever? Peel that onion. You won't come up with the answers straight away. That's not the point. You won't even hone in on the right questions. That isn't the point. The point is to just start and to be curious and to explore. It will lead you down a terrifying rabbit hole. And I cannot protect you from that. You will feel uncomfortable and you will default to doing all the things that make you comfortable. And I cannot protect you from that. If I could, I would, but I can't protect myself from that. I am not a guru. I do not have all the answers. I am going through it all the same. But one of the things which I am so grateful for and I'm so glad that I've done is that I started to explore that. And I wander off course and I get busy and I get stressed and I get tied up and life's but chapters. We go in and out of them. But I'm always at some point get brought back and be like, okay, you've wandered off course. Like, what are you doing? What do you need to do to reset? And usually it involves slowing down and there's certain things which I do that help. But they're personal to me. They work for me and they probably won't work for you or anyone else. But it always starts that question, what does success mean to me? And it opens up an entire world.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
It's been so wonderful to have you, Matthew. Thank you for the insights and the prompting, the dialogue.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun. I love speaking about these things. It's one of those things. I feel like I found my calling in the sense where what the work, and I've never had this at any point in my life where I felt like the stuff I was writing about today will be the stuff I'll be writing about in 15, 20 years time. But in the last couple of years, that's what I've honed in on. The topics will change and the styles and the approaches, but this idea of exploring hustle culture and busyness and just, yeah, trying to be more at one with like a meaningful version of success. I find it fascinating. And I think it's something we all have in common in that sense.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah, and Beyond the Pale is going to be a series, correct? And Fernand's adventures are going to continue.
Yeah, so I've parked the second book of writing for a little bit while I've been focusing on No Hustle because my time is finite. But absolutely, Ferdinand is going through a three-step process. Beyond the Pale was step one, and steps two and three will come out in book form in due course. But yeah, I'm excited to kind of dive into that. I hit a bit of a creative roadblock. Is the honest answer in 2022. And I tried to kind of battle my way through it a bit to no avail, but it led me to reignite it through No Hustle. And I'm using that as kind of a gateway back into books two and three. So I'm very excited to reaffirm myself with Ferdinand in the not too distant future.
I look forward to following his story.
Yes, exciting.
Yeah, and we'll have all your information in the show notes, websites and book where they can find your book and stuff. And it's a lovely book. It's really wonderful. I really enjoyed it. You know, it just it's one of those just it's a journey, you know, and you're learning along the way. And it was really well written.
Well, that means a lot. And yeah, thank you so much for your support and feedback on the book. It means a lot. And yeah, anyone listening, watching, you know, if it kind of picks your fancy, there's a sample of a book on the website. So you can read the first couple of chapters to get a flavor and take it from there.
Nice.
All right. Wrapping it up. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Matthew, again. You guys listening to Recess and comment, like, subscribe, share. That's how we're going to keep this thing going. So thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks again.
Thanks for joining Jamie and Brian on Recess, the podcast. The twice weekly show of eclectic, inspired, and entertaining discussion. Be sure to subscribe as well as share with your friends and spread the good news. It's always appreciated. If you'd like to learn more about Jamie's intuitive coaching services and creative projects, please go to jamiedon.com. And if you'd like to learn more about Brian and his Creative Spark world and books, please go to gbrianbenson.com.